Okay, tonight we're continuing in the third perek of Pirkei Avos, and in the R Scroll Hebrew English Siddur, we are on page 560, Perek Gimel Mishnah Tesvav. That's chapter 3, Mishnah 15, in which we read the following. Rabbi Elazar HaModoi Omer. Rabbi Elazar the Modoi used to say as follows. And before we see what he said, we'll first talk a little bit about Rabbi Elazar HaModoi and explore what his life was all about. The word Modoi is an indication of where Rabbi Elazar came from. He was actually from the town of Modi'in. Modi'in is famous in Jewish history as being the place that the Hashmonaim came from, the Maccabees. Today, Baruch Hashem, it's a thriving town in Eretz Yisrael. He was a Talmud, a student of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and a contemporary of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Elazar HaModoi was particularly known for his expertise in the world of Agoda, in homiletic interpretations. The Gemara brings in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Amud Beis, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked his Talmidim to interpret a certain pasuk in Mishlei, and each of the Talmidim in turn gave an explanation. Until Rabbi Gamliel came along and said, "Adayin anu tzrichim lamodai." In the end of the day, the only one who can really explain this pasuk properly is Rabbi Elazar HaModoi. Again, he was known as having this tremendous power in terms of agada, being able to interpret psukim and give homiletic interpretations, and that was what he was famous for. It's related both in the Talmud Yerushalmi as well as in Medrash Eicha that during the Bar Kochva rebellion, Rabbi Elazar HaModoi was holed up in the city of Beitar, the last holdout of Bar Kochva, held out for two and a half years against the Romans. Rabbi Elazar HaModoi was actually an uncle of Bar Kochva, and the Yerushalmi and the Medrash Eicha described tragically how Rabbi Elazar HaModoi came to his end. There was a certain Kusi, there was a certain Kuthian. The Kusim were sort of a fifth column within the Jewish people. They were observant in certain ways but disloyal to the Jews in other ways. And this Kusi wanted to ensure that the city would be handed over to the Romans, that Beitar would finally fall. Rabbi Elazar HaModoi, the Medrash relates, would sit every day covered in sackcloth and fasting, and daven every day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not sit in judgment on that day, and that the city of Beitar should be saved. This Kusi decided that one day he would go over to Rabbi Elazar HaModoi when he was davening, and pretend to whisper something in his ear. People saw this Kusi go over to Rabbi Elazar HaModoi and whisper something in his ear, and people thought that something was up. You know, people were very suspicious. They thought anybody could be a potential traitor. So some of Bar Kochva's men inside of the city went to Bar Kochva and they said, "You know, your uncle Rabbi Elazar HaModoi is plotting to give the city over to the Romans. We see that he was whispering together with this Kusi." So Bar Kochva goes and confronts his uncle, Rabbi Elazar HaModoi, and he says, "What did that Kusi say to you?" So Rabbi Elazar HaModoi says, "I have no idea what you're talking about. I was davening, I didn't hear anything, and I really don't know." Bar Kochva got upset, very, very angry, and he kicked his uncle, Rabbi Elazar HaModoi, and killed him with that kick. The schus of Rabbi Elazar HaModoi was the only thing that was holding the Romans back from conquering Beitar. They very quickly conquered Beitar. Bar Kochva was killed, and the rebellion that had lasted for 2.5 years came to its end. That is Rabbi Elazar HaModoi, again tragically killed by his own nephew, somebody about whom Rabbi Akiva had thought at one time that Bar Kochba might have been Moshiach. Okay, obviously that didn't turn out, but Rabbi Elazar HaModoi was this sacred, saintly individual who was devoted to the very end, you know, to the Jewish people and ensuring that they would be protected. Rabbi Elazar HaModoi makes the following statement: "Hamechalel es hakodshim, somebody who desecrates sacred things, kodshim of the karbonos. So, if a person doesn't treat the karbonos with sanctity, or he doesn't treat hektish sanctified objects with sanctity, hamevazes hamoados, somebody who degrades the yomim tovim, the various holidays, and based on a Gemara in Chagiga, the Mefarshim understand over here that what we're talking about specifically is not only does he degrade the Yom Tovim generally, but specifically he doesn't observe Chol HaMoed properly. He doesn't give Chol HaMoed its proper due. Sometimes people treat Chol HaMoed more like Chol than its Moed. He doesn't treat. He doesn't give the proper due to Chol HaMoed. Vamalbin Pnei Chavero Barabim, somebody who causes his friend's face to whiten in public, he embarrasses his friend in public. Vamefer Briso Shel Avraham Avinu, he sets aside, he violates the bris that was made with Avraham Avinu, meaning he himself doesn't get a bris, he doesn't give his sons a bris, or even if he is circumcised, he tries to pull the skin in such a way so that it appears as if he was not circumcised. Again, in the Hellenistic culture, where they look down on circumcision, sometimes Jews who were circumcised would try to pretend to be uncircumcised, so he pushes aside that bris. Or he perverts the words of Torah in such a way that they are not in accordance with the halacha. Farshim over here explain that that what we're talking about over here is that the person explains Torah Shebiksav in such a way, that he explains the written Torah in such a way that it doesn't accord with the interpretation given by the Torah Shebaal Peh, by the oral Torah. He interprets Psukim in a way that is not in accordance with the Torah Shebaal Peh. Again, specifically Halachic Psukim. We know the Rishonim themselves very often would give interpretations of the Chumash that were not necessarily what Chazal said in the Medrash, but here he learns out things that are non-halachic from his interpretation of the Chumash. So such a person, afal pi sheyesh biyado Torah umaisim tovim, ein lo chelek la'olam haba. Even though this person may have in his hands Torah and good deeds, this person has no share in the world to come by virtue of these five different things which the person has done. The Abarbanel, in his Nachlos Avos, on this Mishnah, asked the following question. This is a very famous Mishnah in the beginning of the last parak of Sanhedrin, which we traditionally read at the beginning of each parak of Pirkei Avos. Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelak la'olam haba. Every Jew has a portion in the world to come. So we read that part as a part of our introduction to every parak and Pirkei Avos. We don't read the continuation of that Mishnah, which says, chutz, except for, and then goes on to list a series of people who don't have a portion in Olam Haba. Most Jews almost all Jews have a portion in the world to come automatically, some bigger, some smaller. But there are certain Jews who don't have a chelik in Olam Haba, and the Mishnayos and Sanhedrin list them off. These five sins, mechalel es hakodshim, mevazes hamoados, etc., are not included in that list of those few categories of Jews who don't have a share in the world to come, who don't have a share in Olam Haba. So how do we understand that? Does Rabbi Elazar HaModoi argue with those Mishnayos in Sanhedrin? That's question number one. Question number two is that, as seemingly you know, as bad as the things that are listed off in the Mishnah by Rebbe Elazar Modai are, they don't seem to be the kinds of capital crimes that would earn a person, that would cause a person to lose his share in Olam Abba. So a person is Mevazes HaMoados, right? So the way we explained, he doesn't treat the Yom Tovim with the proper respect, and in fact, he's very careless, in particular when it comes to Chol HaMoed. Again, not to say that you should be careless when it comes to Chol HaMoed, not to say that you should be careless when it comes to the Yom Tovim in general, but why is that so terrible that Ein Lo Chelek LaOlam Haba? But I take another example. Malbim Pnei Chavero Berabim. Embarrass your friend in public. A terrible, terrible thing. That's true. Chazal say that it's like Ritzicha, that it's like killing the person. But in the end of the day, it's like killing the person. It's not actually killing the person. And the implication of Rebbe Elazar HaModai's statement is that if you embarrass your friend in public, you'll lose your share in Olam Haba. But by omission, it seems as if you actually kill somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, you still have a portion in Olam Haba. We don't find that a murderer loses his portion in Olam Haba. So it seems a little counterintuitive. If I go and kill somebody, I still have a portion in Olam Haba. But if I embarrass somebody in public, which is like killing, so then I lose my portion in Olam Haba. Really? So you might be inclined to say that Rebbe Elazar HaModai was speaking hyperbolically, meaning he doesn't really mean that these people lose their share in Olam Haba. He means that these are terrible, terrible things. But that's not the obvious way to read Rebbe Elazar HaModai. If he says that these people don't have a share in Olam Haba, so presumably he means they don't have a share in Olam Haba. But what is so terrible about these things? And why indeed are these items not listed in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin? There's a beautiful pshat here from the Tiferes Yisrael, which he quotes from the Sefer Yein HaLevonon, and he actually adds in a note that Pirish Mishnah Zobos Nisi Al Yisod Shel Yein HaLevonon. I explained this Mishnah based on the Sefer Yein HaLevonon. And you should know that I relied very much on the Ein HaLevonon multiple times in putting together my commentary on Pirkei Avos. The Tiferes Yisrael writes the following idea. The common denominator between all of the types, all of the sins that are mentioned by Rebbe Elazar HaModai, is that they're all types of apikorsus, they're all types of heresy and denial of basic principles of Yiddishkeit. One of the things that emerges from the Mishnayos in Sanhedrin is that while a Jew who has correct beliefs but engages in wrongful actions can still maintain his place in Olam Haba, a Jew who has wrongheaded beliefs, As the Mishnah lists off there in Sanhedrin, a person who says that the Torah was not given from heaven, a person who denies the concept of Tchiyas HaMesim, a person who's an Epicurus, a person who's a heretic, those are all examples of people who lose their share in Olam Haba according to the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. In fact, the Rambam created his Yud Gimel Ikrei Emunah, he created that concept of the 13 principles of faith based on those Mishnayos in Sanhedrin. He basically took the ideas that were expressed very succinctly in the Mishnayos in Sanhedrin, that it's a failure to believe properly more than anything else that causes a person to lose his share in Olam Haba, and the Rambam expanded and expounded upon what the full range of Jewish belief was, and he, you know, boiled it down to 13 principles. So says it to Tiferes Yisrael, essentially the five different types of sins described by Rebbe Elazar HaModai are five different levels of epikorsis. The reason these things are so terrible is not just because of the actions associated with them, but by the denial and the belief system which is expressed by these actions. It's not so much what the person does, it's what the person is professing to either believe in or not believe in, which is so terrible over here, and which causes the person to lose his chelak in Olam Haba, to lose his portion in Olam Haba. So let's go through the five different types of heresy which are exemplified by these five things. Hamechalel es hakodshim, you disrespect kodshim, holy objects. Fundamentally speaking, says it to Tiferes Yisrael, this reflects a person who believes that there's no such thing as Kedusha in the world. If I don't believe in Kedusha, so obviously this piece of meat is no different than that piece of meat, even though this piece of meat was offered up as a karban, and that piece of meat is just something I bought in the butcher store. If I don't believe in Kedusha, so this piece of parchment that has some words on it, a Sefer Torah, is no different than another piece of parchment which might have some kind of secular poem on it. It's all the same. There's no concept of Kedusha in the world, according to this person. Parenthetically, the Abba Abinel, his Nachlas Avos, says, Mechalas HaKadosh means as well, you don't treat a shul with respect, you don't treat Svarim with respect, you deny the whole concept of Kedusha altogether. Denying the existence of Kedusha is essentially denying the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. There's a reason we call Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One. If you don't believe in Kedusha, you don't believe that something can be sanctified and made special, that's a fundamental gap in your Jewish belief, to the extent to which the person is really an Epicurus, a heretic, and he has no share in the world to come. Mevazes hamoados, a person who treats the Yom Tovim with a lack of respect, denies the nature of God's involvement in the world. Because the common denominator to both Shabbos and all of the Yom Tovim is the notion that God not only created the world, but that He runs the world. There's Hashkacha, there's divine providence. He's involved in making things happen in this world. Shabbos is about the notion of creation, and all of the Yom Tovim, in some way or another, go back to events that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in. Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shavuos, the giving of the Torah, Sukkos, the Anoni HaKavod, which surrounded the Jewish people. Every Yom Tov speaks of the Hashkacha, of the involvement of Hashem in this world. To make light of the Yom Tovim is to deny that cardinal principle. Sin number three is Malbim Pnei Chaveru Berabim, one who embarrasses his friend in public. Such a person denies the notion that man is created, human beings are created, B'Tselem Elokim. If you really believe that people were created B'Tselem Elokim, in the image of God, you wouldn't embarrass people. The failure to take somebody's honor and kavod into account, the degrading of another human being, is to reject the notion of the Tzelem Elokim, which was implanted into every person. So believing in a Tzelem Elokim in people is also a cardinal principle of Yiddishkeit. It's not so much the embarrassment itself which is the problem, although that obviously is the problem. It's the idea, the concept, which is represented by embarrassing someone else in public in that kind of way, the denial of the Tzelem Elokim, which you should be recognizing within every person. In a similar kind of way, the Abarbanel, who has a similar but not exactly identical approach to this Mishnah, the Abarbanel writes that the very definition of an Epicurus is somebody who mocks and makes fun of Rabbonim, institutions in Jewish life. So although Malbim Pnei Chaveru Berabim is not limited to embarrassing Talmidei Chachamim, but it relates to the same kind of principle. If you mock Talmidei Chachamim, you'll probably mock the average person as well. If you have an attitude towards people which doesn't really accord them respect, that's something that's going to carry over when you're dealing with Rabbanim, when you're dealing with Talmidei Chachamim, when you're dealing with the average person. So the very nature of an Epicurus is to poke fun at people. That's Malbim Pnei Chaveru Berabim. Nefer Briso Shel Avraham Avinu, the person who rejects the bris, the concept of a bris, rejects the notion of the chosenness of the Jewish people. That's the fundamental concept which bris represents. Because if you think about it, the very first mitzvah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Avinu to set aside the Jewish people as being different is the concept of bris milah. If you deny the concept of bris milah, you're essentially saying there is no there's no difference between the Jewish people and anyone else in the world. And that that approach undermines the fundamental concept of the Am HaNivchor, of the chosen people. Finally, Megale Ponim Batara Shelo Kalacha, interpreting a pasuk not in accordance with the Torah Shebaal Peh and coming to a conclusion which is not in accordance with the halacha as taught by the Torah Shebaal Peh, is rejecting the very, by definition, it's rejecting the very notion of the Torah Shebaal Peh, of the oral law. It's basically saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the written Torah, but I deny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the oral Torah. That's Epicurus 101. That's a basic aspect of heresy, of disbelief in a fundamental aspect of Yiddishkeit. And by doing so, again, the person is expressing something which ultimately is a form of heresy of Epicurus. So these five actions described by Rabbi Lazar HaModoi are all expressions of heresy. A denial of Kedusha, a denial of God's providence, a denial of the Tzelem Elokim within a person, a denial of the uniqueness of the Jewish people, and a denial of the concept and the centrality of the Torah Shebaal Peh, of the oral law. So ultimately, these are not five things that are different than that which is laid out in the Mishnayos and Sanhedrin, the few people who lose their portion in Olam Haba. This is just an expansion of the concept that an Epicurus, somebody who denies the basic beliefs of Yiddishkeit, is among those people who loses his share in Olam Haba. And Rabbi Lazar HaModoi is speaking out for us that when you embrace these five different actions, by definition, you're embracing a form of heresy which denies you entry into the gates of Olam Haba. Bez Hashem will pick up tomorrow with the next Mishnah. At this point, we'll say Kapitel Tzadi Aleph 91, followed by Kuf Mem Beis 142. Yoshev b'seiser elyon v'tzel shaddai yislonon Omer l'adonai machsi umsudosi Elohai evtach bo Ki hu yafsi l'cho mipach yokush Midever havos Bevroso yosech loch v'sachas kenofav techser Sino v'sochiro amito Lo siro mi pacha loy lo Meichetz yof yomom Mi dever vofel yaloch Mi ketev yoshut zoroyim Yipol mitziducho el Efor vavo mi minecho Eilecho lo yigosh Rak beinecho sabir Yeshilu mas v'sholim tireh Ki ato Adonai machsi El yon sam tom yonecho Lo sunay lecho ra V'nega lo yikrav b'yo alecho Ki malochav yitzav elach Lishmarcho v'chol d'rochecho Al kapayim yisonecho Pentigov boev en raglecho Al shachal vofes en tidroch Tirmos kefir visanin Kivicho shak viafaleteyu Asagiveyu ki odashimi Yiko eini veneyu imon olchi vitzara Achalitzeyu viachabedeyu Arech yomim asbiyeyu Yare Yubishu Osi Kufman Beis 142 Maskil Dovid Yosov Amora Sefila Kolil Adonai Ezok Kolil Adonai Eschanan Eshpoch Lefonov Sichi Sarasi lefanav agid. Bisatei folai ruchi v'yata yodata nesivasi. Barachu aleich tamenu fachli. Habeg yomin arevi ein li makir. Avad manos mimeni ein doreish lenavshi. Zoakti eilecho Adonai. Amarti ato machsi. Chalki b'yeretz achayim. Hakshivo el rinosi. Kidalo simiot. Hatzileinu mirodefai. Ki ometsu mimeni. Hotzio mimasger nafshi lodos eshemecho. V'yachtiru tzadikim ki sigmol oloi. Mishaberach abuseinu Avraham Yitzchak v'yakob Moshe v'yaron dom nishlomo. V'yivarech v'yirape yesacholim. Amen. I wish everyone a pleasant evening, and we'll pick up tomorrow night. Bez Hashem.